How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
I talked to a lady who told me about her child. Now, she did a very unwise thing. She told her child that Santa Claus was going to find out whatever he wanted, and if he was good, you remember the naughty and nice thing, and that he was to take his list and send it up the chimney, burn it, send it up the chimney, and Santa would get the message of, and if he'd been nice, then Santa would bring those things, and if he hadn't been nice, well, he wouldn't. Well, in the meantime, the mother's scheme was to get to see the list so she could buy those things and make like Santa had done this. So when she asked for the list, the little boy said, well, Mom, I'm not going to send the list up. I'm not going to send the message to Santa until Christmas Eve. She says, well, that's awful late. And he may not be able to get the stuff here in time. She was trying to get the list. He said, well, if he knows whether I'm naughty or nice, he also knows what I'm going to put on the list anyhow. And so she is suffering great pain today as a result of not knowing what the wish list was. But it's really easy to get confused about at Christmas time. And probably the biggest reason is not the lack of celebration, not the lack of, you know, lights and decorations and all these things. Because it's possible to learn the symbols and forget the substance of which the symbols are representative. So we've got lots of lights, but what are these lights all about? We've got trees. What's the tree about? Well, I thought I'd spend a few moments today, and if I had one great desire for each of you today, it would be to realize that Christmas is a time to behold His beauty, to behold Him. So I'd like to bow for just a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you for help. More than anything, I wish, oh God, show us thy glory. Help us behold the glory. And God, we do as requested, remember this young policeman, 26, who shot himself in the face accidentally, the Barnes family, and ask you to comfort them and teach, instruct, and heal. More than anything else, though, Lord, I ask you to help the preacher today, because perhaps that will help the people. More than anything, we want to behold your glory. So I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If you'll take your teaching notes now. Christmas, in my version, is a time to behold His glory. Now, let's take a look at this opening verse. Referring to Jesus, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And look at this. We beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, this glory is full of grace and truth. Now, this word beheld comes from the Greek word theome, which means to look closely at. We beheld His glory. Now, the risk today is that we could even get past the symbols to the substance, but it only be academic. And that you should go through Christmases year after year, and yes, we know the babe in the manger, and yes, we know the meaning of the tree and the wreath and the lights and the candy cane, and we know all of that. And know the facts without seeing the glory. So you get the, you see the glory, you behold it. You will see the glory if you look closely. That means slow down, get pensive, contemplative, and contemplate the things of the Lord. Now, let's take a look, first of all, and behold the glory of His arrival here. And this is not an unfamiliar story. She brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in grave clothes, and she laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were really afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I think it's interesting, because you know what follows this, right? They said, let's go and see this thing. It's just come to pass. Shepherds. Got to see the glory of His arrival. The birth of Jesus, the coming of God to the planet, can be merely academic, or it can be an annual celebration. This arrival is full of glory. So what's so glorious? And certainly today, I'm going to give you the scriptures out of which, if you take time, you will see the glory for yourself. And I may tell you some of the glories that I have found. I cannot think of something more glorious than the Creator becoming one of His created. Who could think up such a story? Who could imagine such a tale? Imagine the glory. I tell you, dear friends, that on any given day of the year, I don't need Christmas to do this. The moment that I turn my thoughts to ponder this amazing fact of history, I fill up sometimes with laughter, sometimes with tears, but it always fills me full. When I think about the glory of God becoming one of us. Oh, the glory. God. Number one person in charge of the whole universe. Came here. Now, I've told you this before, that if I were God and I was going to show up in one of my creations, I'd at least have a backup band and a parade. I mean, like I would have 10,000 times 10,000 angels march me in. I'd have at least a white horse to show up. Like I'd have celestial loudspeakers aimed at the earth. Now hear this, I'm coming. I'd have sent tracks down. I mean, I would have had angels buzz every country with pictures and promotion, and every radio station, if there were radios, but there weren't back there, but every press, everybody who communicated. I'd had a promo team get here first, a lead team. Wouldn't that be pompous? See, when you're God, you don't have to do that stuff. Got nothing to prove. Don't need to show off. No boasting's necessary. And the glory of God showing up as a baby is almost inexplicable. But not only did the shepherds, do you remember that after they saw Jesus and they went to the manger and they left there, what did they do? They went back doing what Pastor Corley was trying to induce us to do today. They went back shouting. Rejoicing, leaping. You see, the greatest danger in church today is to have doctrine without tears, theology without feeling. You can have all the symbols and the sayings without reality. What does it take to move us from the lethargic condition of almost nonchalant observation of a manger scene? What does it take to make us jump for joy? What does it take to make us leap to shout? It takes seeing the glory of something. You know, I think I quoted years ago, in the Harvard newspaper, there was a little verse, went something like this. To look at something is one thing. But to see what you're looking at is another. You understand? To see something is one thing, but to understand what you see is still another. To understand is one thing, but to learn from what you understand is still another. To learn is one thing, but to act on what you learn is all that really matters. You see, religion wants to take Christ and wrap it in swaddling clothes again, death clothes, and let you know the theology and let you know the ideas and concepts. But what we need, dear friends, today at Christmas time is to use this time to behold His glory. The glory, for we beheld His glory. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We didn't just behold Him, we beheld the glory of this moment. And it is forever the compelling force, as you'll see in a moment, that keeps us true, that keeps us on track, that keeps us fresh. It is seeing His glory. Here's a little glory. We sang this verse a moment ago. A virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a child, or shall be with child, shall bring forth a child, forth a son. They shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us. See, you right now you've just got the facts of that, but can you see the glory of this? Can you catch a glimpse of the glory of God with us? Like, listen to Scripture. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, the glory. The glory that this babe who grew up, this God who came here and dwelt among us, ate, slept, walked, preached, talked, healed, went to a cross, died, rose again, ever lives. The glory that this same Jesus who came still comes today into people's lives. That is so glorious. But this doesn't need to be another religious service, that something mystical, something supernatural can happen today. And you can walk out of here with Emmanuel. And you'll never walk alone again. Never be alone again. You'll never be alone again. You'll never be alone again. Because if you can see the glory of this, see, if you catch the glory, oh my, you'll run through life. There'll be a song in your heart, a spring in your step, and a smile on your face because, you know, like the song says, oh, the glory of His presence. Emmanuel. You find a lot of glory in this verse. And there's another group of people. When Jesus was born in Jerusalem, pardon me, in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And they said, where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and we are come to worship Him. Kings worshiping. That's kind of a reversal, isn't it? Most kings want to be worshiped. But these kings knew something that others did not. They knew what Herod did not know, another king. They saw the glory of this. And watch this now, because like the wise men, if you ever see the glory, you will have no problem worshiping. But if you don't see the glory, it's going to be hard to get you to worship. We're going to have to dress up the music. We're going to have to add a lot of rhythm. We're going to have to decorate worship to make it attractive to you. But if you've seen the glory, oh, it's hard to keep your hands down. It's hard to keep your voice subdued. If you see the glory, if you see the glory. Now, here's the problem, my friends. We have so much religion and so much communication skills all over America today. People are known about Christmas trees and manger scenes, and there's a few goofies who want to get rid of them, but everybody knows about it. What's more important than to know the facts of this is to be able to see the glory of it. Because if America could see the glory at Christmas time, I think America would be worshiping. The key, the secret. How do you get yourself up to worship? Well, you shouldn't have to sort of psych yourself to worship. Nobody else should have to psych you to worship. If you've seen the glory, you will not be able to help yourself. And at this Christmas time, beloved, tomorrow, you're going to do the family thing, okay, but whatever you do, Christmas is a time to behold the glory, and you need some time for that. To sit in contemplation of these astounding facts of history, time, and eternity. God became one of us, and he dwelt among us, and we take time to look at his glory. So they worship. Now there's another king, this Herod. Herod was a king. He was threatened by this. You know what he did, right? You know the story, right? When the wise men who were warned not to go back and report to Herod, because the angels that warned the wise men knew that Herod didn't see the glory of this. There are some things that will only be seen by people who have also seen the glory. Others will just see some facts. Dead, routine, ideas. So they went home to the Orient from whence they'd came. They'd come another way. And when Herod realized that the other kings, these wise men, didn't report to him, he was furious that there would be such a, there's a king born in my country, this Jesus. And he ordered the death of every male 2 years and under. And isn't it amazing what people will do to get rid of Jesus? For the rest of that generation, here's Jesus when he's 32 and there's no other 32-year-olds. When he's 29, there's no other 29-year-olds. He's the only one. You see, there's great danger in not seeing the glory. Herod didn't see the glory. Oh my, this is a favorite verse of mine. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. See, I see the glory of this. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Let me tell you, dear friends, the government of every Christian is already on his shoulder. That's what becoming a Christian is about. It's a change of government. It's a change from self-government to Christ's government, from self-rule to Christ's rule. It's a change of government. And this is a, oh, the glory of this. You know what encourages me most about my wife, and there are a lot of things, that Jesus is governing her life. Huh? Do you understand what rejoicing that causes for me? All over the world, where knees are bowed and tongues confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, he assumes the government. He assumes the responsibility to instruct, to guide, to lead, to point in the right direction all the time, every time. And the tragedy is you can have a whole lot of Christian religion and not be under the government. Still doing your own thing. Religious about it and assume that everything's all right with your soul. Danger. Oh, when you see the glory of this arrival, when you see the glory of his person, when you see the glory, can you see the glory of having your life under leadership that's trustworthy? God himself. Oh. His name should be called Wonderful. Well, we just haven't the time. Counselor. Oh, do you know what glory there is in that? You got problems. You've got needs. Let me tell you where to get help. Don't go checking in with somebody else who's human like you are, because all you're going to get some more human stuff back. How are you going to get help? That's like trying to lift yourself up by your bootstraps. You may say, well, I want to go to somebody smarter than I. Well, what makes you think, well, they might be smarter than you. And yet, they may not be. They're educated. Let me tell you something. If a person doesn't know God, they're no farther ahead than you are. You can go direct to God. Nobody in between you and him. Oh, the glory that when it's tough for me, I can check in with the counselor. Oh, the glory. I tell you, I'm talking things today that excite me down to the core of my being. If I behaved in front of you the way my feelings are, you'd think I was crazy. But the truth is, I am absolutely crazy about God. Who was it showed up here? This child is born and this son is given. Who was it? Are you ready? It was the mighty God came here. You answered the glory of that. Who was it came here? The everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Let's talk a bit about the glory of his person. And this is talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. We're talking here that Jesus is the brightness of God's glory, and he is the express image of his person. It's in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Imagine that. This Jesus who came here, this Jesus who is here, This Jesus who we look at for a brief time this morning, look at what he does. He upholds all things by the word of his power. He's the one who holds stuff together. Molecules obey him. Atoms, neutrons and electrons, everything obeys him. He's the one who holds it all together. He's the author, the creator of the whole concepts. They are under his rulership. Oh, doesn't matter what science I look at, and I wish I had lots more time to study some of the different sciences. I wish I'd done it younger in my younger years. Not much time left now. But no matter what science I take time to peruse and inspect, everything about it shows me his glory. The hummingbird, the bee, the whale, the beaver, the skunk. You. Yeah, let me tell you what, you got so much glory that if you start contemplating, you can't help but see it if you'll take the time. And then see it. Well, I'm going to show you what's going to happen when you see the glory. Oh, he purged our sins. I want you to catch this. All things were made by him. We're talking about this person of Jesus. And we celebrate his birth, but who was he? And without him was not anything made that was made. The Creator showed up here. If you have any doubts, you look at this scripture. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. All I tell you, dear friends, now when you think of Jesus, I don't know what happens in your mind, you know, the word association game. What happens when somebody says Jesus or you think the name Jesus? It's like it ought to be like fountains bursting forth. It ought to be like great orations come out. It ought to be like fireworks. Because once you know the glory of this person, the association causes tremendous responses. Oh, the glory is greater. Well, look at this. He's the true light. Well, there's a sermon for this one, but I can't preach it to you. Look at this. He's the light which lighteth every man that comes into the world. Now, those who were here last Wednesday night, we went through Romans chapter 1. That everybody starts out with a knowledge of God. Remember, the wrath of God is revealed. It's revealed from heaven. Remember that? Well, here's another verse you should put into last Wednesday night. He lights everyone that comes into this world. Everyone. Everyone. Knows him, even his eternal Godhead and power. So they are without excuse, Romans 12, 19, 20. And this is wonderful. In other words, it isn't ignorance out there, it's willful ignorance out there. It's determined to reject and somehow in our younger years to turn off the light. Why? Because men love darkness rather than light, because they got evil intentions. So they refused to accept what was born in them, which was a knowledge of the holy. He's the light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So in a very real sense, the task is for us to help get people back to what they've already rejected. The true light. And he lights every man that comes into the world. I am the light of the world. Oh, I'll tell you what, see, I'm having a hard time because You know, I could take a verse like this and I could spend easily an hour on these words and experience tremendous glory. Watch this. Jesus says he's the light of the world, and he that follows me, he says, shall not walk in darkness. There's probably 10,000. There's probably 10,000 reasons why you should give your life to Jesus Christ. There's probably 10,000 reasons. Here's a good one. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall possess the light of life. You will understand the purpose of life if you follow him. You will understand meaning. You will have a different standard of significance than those who grope in the dark. Oh, the glory of this person. This is why I have said it, I will say it, I will say this the rest of my life, and I say it without apology again this morning. I would rather have a knowledge of the Bible without an education than an education without a knowledge of the Bible. I would rather know God and not be smart than be smart and not know God. That's why if you have a child and an adult and the child is young enough, and if the adult is not a follower of the Lord, that little child is way ahead of that adult. Because except you become as a little child, you can't enter the kingdom. Because you see, the child is fresh with the light of life. He's been shown it, sees it. Don't talk him out of it. Don't let anybody else get to your child to persuade them of things that Jesus has already revealed. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. It's always the light. John the Baptist put it this way, there's one coming after me who's mightier than me, and the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. Now John was older than his cousin, Jesus. He was born first. And yet John the Baptist saw the glory. And he said, he's mightier than I am. He said, I'm not worthy to get down, stoop down, and undo his shoes. See, you say that about someone, you say that about Jesus, if you've seen his glory. I'm a little off-centered, I'm a little disconcerted about over-familiarity about Jesus. Now, I understand how close he is, I understand how. But you see, when you see the glory, you hold Jesus where he should be held. One who, there's this vague gap between us, and he is the worshipped and I'm the worshiper. And it isn't hard because I see his glory. You follow that? I don't want to ever reduce Jesus down to my size. He's not a man like me, Son of God. And now John said, I'm baptizing you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. By the way, those of you Let me just say, be careful that you don't resist this baptism with the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. And to refuse the baptism of the Holy Ghost is to refuse Jesus. Oh, precious Spirit of God, why do I love this outpouring of God's Spirit? It's because it comes from Jesus. He's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and fire. So I, oh Jesus, welcome your Spirit. The next day, John sees Jesus coming and says, look at this. See, watch this. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, I tell you, John saw His glory. He's the one who can take away the sins of the world. Do you know how many sins that is? How many sins is it for you? In your 50 years, 40 years, 20, 70, whatever you have. Multiply that number of sins by the number of people on the planet, the number of people who have ever been here. This Jesus is so capable that He could take away the sins of the whole world. Oh, you see His glory. He is... Never doubt that Calvary is a subtraction sign as well as a plus sign. Calvary subtracts things from your life. A rotten disposition. A nasty mood. Calvary, the cross, is a great subtractor. Jesus comes to take the junk out. He subtracts inferiority complexes. Isn't that good? You don't have to go through the rest of your life boasting and pretending and flaunting yourself trying to be somebody. Because once you get to Calvary, you find out you really are somebody. And He subtracts all that artificial ego inflation. The cross is a subtraction symbol. The cross is also a plus sign. He comes to add to your life, don't you see? John understood the subtraction thing when he said, behold the Lamb of God which takes away, subtracts sins of the world. And then look at what he says. This is He. This is He of whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me. Look at this. For he was before me. Now John was older than him, but he understood who Jesus was. But Jesus always was, and He was before He got here, and He ever will be. Oh, the glory of His person. And John bare record and he saw, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it stayed on Him. It abode on Him. I'm talking to you today about this Jesus because I want you to see some of His glory. You'll get the glory of it. If I could make something happen in a room like this, I would love to have this. Oh God, fill this room with Your glory. So I can't speak and don't have to say a word because everybody would recognize Your glory. That's what I would like to see. And you know, that may happen one day. I live for the day when we walk in here, and just like in the Old Testament temple,
They stood to worship, and they couldn't let the songs come out because the temple was full of the glory of God. And the minister couldn't get up. He was staggering like a drunk man because the place was full of the glory of God. It is not that God is not glorious. It is that we seldom take sufficient time and opportunity to behold the glory. Because if you behold the glory in your office or your study or your bedroom or wherever it is that you do devotion times before Him, you take enough time, the room will be full of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Well, the Spirit came on Jesus and stayed there. Oh, let me see. Oh, my. Oh, dear. Let me stop at this one. I am the bread of life. He that comes after me shall never hunger. Do you know how many people are going through life grabbing, clutching, and grasping because they have a thirst and they have a hunger and nothing satisfies? But Jesus said, he that believeth in me, never thirst again. Never hunger. Never thirst. Well, let me see. Yeah. Oh, this is, oh. Yeah. I obviously wasn't in the spirit when I told him to have the food here this early. Listen, Jesus says, I am the way. That's why you never need to be lost. He is the truth, he says, so you'll never need to be confused. Never confused. And I am the life to never be depressed. Oh, the glory. Oh, listen to this one. I'm the vine, you're the branches. You know how glorious this is? I'm the vine, and you're the branches. What is the glory there? Glory is that we are connected with Him. Oh, the Well, there's the glory of His redemption. Good Shepherd gives His life for the sheep. We preached a lot about that, so I'm not going to. Greater love of no man than the man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, the glory of this. Oh, the glory of this staggers me. He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God, who His own self bare our sins, His own body in the tree. And this is, I never get over the glory of this. That on the cross, Jesus became the most sin-filled man that ever lived. That is, oh, the glory. That's because He took your sins and He took my sins and He made them His very own. Songwriter put it. And our sin killed Him. The wages of sin is death. And I go through these verses, and I may mention them from time to time, but oh, the glory of the Savior to take my sin, to become an outcast that you might never be cast out, to be put down so that you could be lifted up, to be made sin that you might be made righteous, to wear a crown of thorns so you can wear a crown of victory. Jesus, oh, the glory of His redemption. And then there's the glory of His future. I want to get past this. He said, I am in the resurrection life, and he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. His future includes you. Isn't that good news? Oh, the glory of this. That the ages to come, he intends to show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. Well, this is just staggering, I tell you. I probably shouldn't pull this out and give you such short time to peruse these ideas. But if you will take them, you will see the glory. Well, what I want to get to here, I'm going to quit. And I want you to see some of the benefits of the glory. And there's three.
the benefits of beholding the glory. I have taken you through some things about the glory of His coming and the glory of His person and the glory of His redemption, the glory of His future. There's so much to this that it just, you could spend weeks and months in the glory. You never tire of Jesus because this is inexhaustible. I love it what the J.C. Rowles wrote. The fountain of His fullness never fails. The wisdom of His word never wanes. The vigor of His virtue, it never varies. The luster of His love, it never lessens. The burnish of His beauty, it never blemishes. The prowess of His power, it never perishes. There's no depth. There's no bottom that you can get to with Jesus. That's why relationship can stay fresh, because there's so much glory. What does the glory do to you? Well, the first thing that glory has the ability to do is it breaks the power of sin. There is a connection between sinning and coming short of the glory of God. I want you to know that when you see the glory of the Savior, the inkling, the wish, the demand to sin is canceled. Sin. All have sinned. They've come short of the glory. When you see the glory of the Savior, I tell you, no wonder we can sing the songs we sung today that sing about the fact that His coming here makes us love everybody. Because when you see His glory, everything else pales into insignificance. And some petty peeve that somebody has towards me, or I have towards some, the pettiness, it goes down through the floor. It disappears in the presence of His glory. Because if you can just see Jesus sufficiently, if you can understand Him more fully, if you can get filled with His presence and see some of His glory, the desire to do something that would quench the glory is snapped out of it. The sword is yanked from our hand. And I don't need to retaliate. I don't need to get back. I don't have to do vengeance anymore, because the glory takes sin right out of you. Let me tell you something else, that if you'll get the glory at this Christmas time, it not only takes away the sin, but beholding the glory changes you. It changes us. Look at the scripture. He was a southerner, wasn't he? We all. That's his plural of you all. Only us all. We all. I want you to get this all. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now this is reference to like looking in a mirror. We with open face, as in a glass, beholding the glory of the Lord. Now watch the scripture. Are changed. And I want you to see something about this change. We're changed into the same image. The secret to becoming more like Jesus. And by the way, you know that's your destiny, right? those whom he before had come to know, those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. How do you get to look like Jesus? How do you get to act like Jesus, think like Jesus, walk and talk like Jesus? It happens to us all as we, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Wow. Seeing the glory, beholding the glory, is the key to becoming like Christ. Now watch this. Because this text is plain. We're changed in the same image from one glory to another. Now watch this. As you behold the glory of Jesus in one area, you'll get changed to the glory that's in that area. If you see the glory of Jesus in another area, you're going to get changed into that glory. And that's how we live. We move from glory to glory to glory. Always going forward, but it's based on the fact that all we, with open face, beholding, as it were, in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory. Now watch this. Because I'm going to tell you that this happens automatically, but it only seems automatic. It isn't really. Watch here. Yeah. Sorry. Wrong keyboard command. Now watch this. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit personally attends the beholders of the glory. And what does the Holy Spirit in attendance do? He's the one that makes these changes. All you got to do is look at His glory. All we, as with open face, behold in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Glory to God. So Christ-likeness isn't difficult at all. And it is beholding His glory that enables us to reflect Him. My dad said this to me, among many other wise things, when I was a new Christian, and I was working for him, getting ready to go to seminary. And my dad said, "David, either be a candle or reflect one." You see, that's the only two ways of spreading light, isn't it? You can be the candle, or you can reflect the candle. As we behold His glory, it enables us to reflect Him, that we should be to the praise of His glory. That's something out of us reflected from what we have seen in Him begins to reflect to others. Beholding the glory enables us to stop sin. Beholding the glory changes us. Beholding the glory enables us to reflect Him. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Look at this now. Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I wish I had 20 minutes to talk to you about that. My wish for you for this Christmas time is not complicated. My wish for you is that you would use this time to behold His glory. Because if you will, it will transform your life. See past the facts by contemplation to see the glory and let His glory fill it. Would you bow with me, please? Glory. The greatest need of this preacher is to not lose sight of the glory of God. Glory of Jesus. I wondered if you'll join me this Christmas by refusing to let this just be a celebration that focuses on the symbols, the light, the tree, the gifts. Will you join me in looking past all the symbols to see the person and to see the glory of Emmanuel, God with us? Last week, our teaching was on preparing the way for this to happen. My greatest desire is everyone here today will see the glory of Jesus at this. Use Christmas time to see His glory. I know while your heads are bowed, there may be people here who say, well, I don't even know how to look at you. I don't even know much about Jesus. But if He's as glorious as you say He is, preacher, I'd sure like to know Him. I would like Him. I want to quit stumbling around in darkness. I want to quit being hungry and thirsty. I want to experience life, resurrection life. I want to eat the bread of heaven. That can begin for you today. It's as simple as bringing your life under the government. From being the boss to letting Him be the boss. To let Him be king. To dethrone in your heart the rulership of your ego. In exchange for the one who really belongs there. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And right now, before I even start to pray, in your heart, you can do that. You can. It's called repentance. It's called dethronement of yourself and enthrone Christ. And by faith, just bring Him into your life to rule in your life unchallenged from this moment forward. And then Christmas for you will be what it should be. It will be Christ. Christ Himself. Personal. Never leaving you, never forsaking you, with you always, even unto the end. So now, while heads are bowed, Father, I do now pray in the name of Jesus that for those here who have never repented and have never, by faith, put you in their hearts, they've known about religion, they know about Christmas, they know about the birth, they know about the Easter, and they know all the little stories, but they have never seen the glory, that today the transformation will take place because they see your glory. This I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. We say amen. Amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.